Yeah. And so we just naturally are opposed to this subject, but it's so important for us to have the right spirit and the right attitude in life. Materialism encourages discontent. All the advertising, everything is just to make you want to buy this, buy that, okay? And we're overwhelmed with stress and pushing people to the edge. That's what contentment's a discontent's about. And so, you know, we go a little crazy and do stupid things. Much of what is emphasized in American culture is opposite to the whole tenor of godly virtues. As we looked here, you know, he says, be careful, be full of care for nothing, everything by prayer and supplication, you know. It's a common vice opposite to the virtues of the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. And so, there we go. The Christian life is based on trust in God and satisfaction in Him. Amen? I mean, that's how it ought to be, you know. We ought to be just peace, have that peace of God that passeth all understanding, ought to guide our lives throughout every day. There we go. He says, whatsoever things are true, all these things, you know, they're so important. So, there we go. However, for clarity, contentment is not involved with carelessness or laziness. People think contentment means lazy. No, it doesn't mean lazy. On the contrary. It also doesn't involve insensibility. That you don't care. On the contrary, you know, you're content. Also, neither, there we go. Neither is it settled and happy with the condition of the world around us. You know, not like we have to say, well, it's just fine. No, that I'm not. We're to pray for all that in authority. No kidding. They need a lot of prayers, you know. You know, in my flesh, I want to choke Joe Biden. But in my spirit, I pray he'd get saved. Amen. Yeah, that would change Joe Biden. Philippians 1:23. Paul says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So, you know, we live in that. And the more this world's going, the more we want to get out of here. But on the other hand, we're occupied till he comes, you know. And so although we're secure in the salvation we have in Christ, contentment has nothing to do with satisfaction in our present condition. You say, wait a minute. But rather desiring to be transformed into being more like Jesus Christ. That's what contentment is. That I'm the place where God wants me to be. Amen? Yeah. And so, is contentment then wrong to work to improve our situation in life? No, it has nothing to do with it, you know. There we go. Diligence and the sense of responsibility and courage in our testimony before others. I mean, every Christian, you ought to be maybe not the smartest worker on your job, you ought to be the best. Not for the work's sake, but for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen? Just ought to be a natural thing, you know. There we go. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, not because you want to, everybody think you're the best. No, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so that's naturally, we ought to be hard workers. And 1 Timothy 5:8, Bible says, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat, you know. So it's a natural thing. We ought to, as Christians, we ought to be the best workers for the testimony of Christ. and I'm working at this thing. There we go. On occasion, it didn't want to kick in. Improving our situation and hard work is commendable when it's under God's control. Amen. Any jobs I've worked, I always moved up fast. Not because I was trying to impress the boss. I just did my work for the name of the Lord, you know. And it was a testimony. When I started the church in Longview years ago, most of the original charter members of that church came from the cabinet shop I worked in, Reaching for Christ. And so the testimony is important. Amen. I keep wanting to grit my teeth, but that doesn't help it. Okay. I don't know. There we go. Okay. Contentment. Our physical goals should not detract from our spiritual goals, which involve our fellowship and walk with the Lord. Our financial matters, they ought to start with God, just like your tithe and missions comes off the top. Amen? Okay. Yeah. Our social life, I don't know what to do about it. It doesn't want to kick in. Is there something I'm not doing, Brother Todd? Could be. I got on a grit my teeth like that's going to help. I don't know. There. Our social life should center around Christ in the church. Amen? That's where the best friends you have. Our family spiritual life shouldn't suffer at the cost of desire for things. If you're contented with the Lord, God's first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and what? Those things will be taken care of. You know, and God's blessed me abundantly. I've never had big bucks, but I don't know where God, he's able to do things incredible because of God, putting Him first. Maybe I'll just forget this thing. I think we're just going to go with the lesson. Let's forget about the screen. It's not working. So number five there. Contentment has no respecter of persons. And it's challenging to every walk in life if you're contented. You know, this world, people are full of stress and nervous because if you don't know the Lord, I understand that. But if you know the Lord, that's inexcusable. Is it not? Yeah. A person can be poor and still enjoy deep satisfaction, or you can always complain about whatever your plight is. I mean, there are people in Fiji there. I've met good Christian people living in little shacks, and they're happy as can be. You don't have to have things to be happy. In fact, they don't make you happy. I had a quote from, of all people, one of these Hollywood stars, and he said, money didn't do it. It's no happiness in that. And so it's true. A person can also be rich and miserable, worrying about his or her riches. Or they can be humble, grateful, and contented in God's blessings. Number six, Webster defines contentment to be satisfied with one's possessions, status, or situation. Does God make mistakes?
No.
He made you just as He wanted you to be, and He has you in the place He wants you to be. I mentioned there's four Greek words for this subject of contentment in the scriptures. And they all mean to be sufficient, or to be enough of a good thing, or needing no assistance. When I have the Lord, I don't have any other assistance I need. The New Bible Dictionary defines contentment as, notice, quote, it is not a passive acceptance of the status quo, but the positive assurance that God has supplied one's needs and the consequent release from unnecessary desire. What a great definition. I mean, So let's look at this. First, what contentment is not. Chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul lost everything. Didn't bother him. Christ was what was important. And so what contentment is not, number one, it is not envy. Not jealous of somebody. And so I mentioned this is an undeniable mark of discontent when you're jealous. I don't care what it is. Then you're saying you're upset with what God has done in your life. So you need to take that up with God. It's not the other people. Jealousy is a violent passion which is full of malice, and it'll kill you, eat you alive. And so number three, when we're upset because someone else receives goodness from God, it is a proof we are quarreling with God. It's not them. Look in Romans chapter 12. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Then I like how he puts in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Got a neighbor that's a real jerk? Well, find ways to be peaceable. Have a good testimony. It happens. You know, I've had those in the past. And you just suck it up and do as the Lord would want you to do. Second thing contentment is not, it is not to be full of care. As we read in Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. People, I hate those old English words. I love the word careful. It's changed in its meaning today. But look at what it means, full of care. Yeah, that's really what it means. I don't know why today people change the meaning of it. And so don't be full of care. You can't handle that stuff. Care is to be cast to the Lord, not carried within. You're not able to handle it. Peter says, 1 Peter 5, 7, casting some of your care onto the Lord. All of it. Yeah, because it's not for you to carry. Like Jonah, with care, we become too overcome with our gourd, not our internal problems. That is one of the funniest places where he gets upset about his gourd dying. I thought, look in the mirror, dummy. Okay, anyway. So, you know, that's care is taken over, and that's what it makes you look stupid like Jonah. Third thing, it is not covetousness. The Greek word for covetousness means greediness. Ephesians 4, verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with, there it is, greediness. I had a great picture there, this big guy with, it just destroys your looks with all that greed, you know. Number two, no man desires more of something which he does not love. So where's your love? We're to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. That kind of encompasses all of us, wouldn't you say? So if those things are, other things are important to you, see, satisfaction can only be attained in Jesus Christ. That's the only place you're going to find. Even for a lost person, they don't find satisfaction in the world. When you come to know the Lord, then remember when you first got saved, man, everything was Jesus. And it still should be everything is Jesus. Luke 12. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed. Notice what the Lord says. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I... Oh, that is not the word scripture I wanted. Well, the main point is, if you love the Lord supreme, that's where you're going to find satisfaction. Number three, if a person cannot be content in the state he is in, then he cannot be content in any state he would or would be in. You won't. Try it. I'll never forget this, hearing an interview with Ted Turner some years ago. And they asked him, and they said, is there anything you feel like toward the end of the interview, something you feel like you're missing? He goes, yeah, well, all the stuff I have. And he said, there's just something missing in my life. Boy, I wanted to talk to that guy right there. I can tell you what it is, Ted. You need Jesus. You have all the possessions, like he talked about, guy and having everything, but didn't have the Lord, you know. Number D, it is the opposite of pride. Ooh. Contentment. Pride is always our biggest enemy. Humility is the mother of contentment. And humility is the opposite of pride, isn't it? So Plummer said this, he who expects nothing because he deserves nothing is sure to be satisfied with the treatment he receives at God's hands. Amen? You don't deserve anything. Praise God for all he's done for me, you know. Finally, number E, contentment is opposed to murmuring and whining about God's will. Uh-oh. Nobody here ever whines or murmurs. So I'm probably not talking to a crowd that even this matters. But let's look at it anyway, okay? Number one, if you cannot say something which glorifies God, it is best you say nothing at all. Psalm 32. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy all the year upright in heart. Why? Because God's so good. We got so much to be thankful for. Number two, contentment lives in gratitude. I love Thanksgiving. It's one holiday the world hadn't figured out how to condemn it. But boy, if we had thankful spirits all the time, what a difference your home, your life, your attitude, the church, everything would be. Look at Isaiah 39. Verse 8. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord. This is after he said, you're going to die, okay? Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. And so you got to have the right attitude, in spite of if it's maybe something bad that's coming. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in some things give thanks. Yeah. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I mentioned about Israel here, a little note. Israel wasn't ever grateful for deliverance from Egypt. I don't know how many days it was, but it wasn't for many days before they were complaining about wanting to go back to Egypt. Oh, we had so many wonderful things, the leeks and the figs, and they didn't eat anything. They got garbage, you know. But, you know, we tend to think of the worst of things. It's the old flesh. And Exodus 16, I guess we'll look at that real quickly. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto him, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. Yeah, right. Liar, liar, pants on fire. They were suffering there. That's why they cried unto the Lord. So. And so number two, how contentment relates to our view of material goods. We have a lot of everything in America. You don't think that's the case? Just drive and see all the storage sheds everywhere. Yeah. Number A, a proper view is that material goods do not bring lasting satisfaction. I think that's been pretty well said in the first part, but let's look detail here. Reality understands that these things give only comfort and convenience. True. And we have lots of things to give comfort and convenience. Number two, reality understands that material objects cannot cure restlessness, anxiety, or guilt. Who can fix that? The Lord can fix that. If there's things like that in your life, you're not going to find satisfaction. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen Christians that are out of God's will and they start going after things. Because they have a restlessness and guilt in their mind, and they're fighting against God. Why fight it? Save you a lot of money. Just get right with God. You don't have to go buy all that junk, okay? Number three, to correct a wrong view, we must prioritize his or her desires to the Lord. Great verse. I think I mentioned it earlier. Matthew chapter 6. There in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So just contentment. Will God take care of tomorrow?
Yes.
Did he take care of yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, anybody here like me have a problem with worrying about tomorrow? And as a dumb, you know, God will take care of it, you know. Number B, I don't know how I'm doing on time. Okay, I'm good, okay. Questions we can use to check our unhealthy desires. This is where it kind of rubber meets the road. These questions are important for us. Number one, do I buy on impulse or after thought and prayer? Uh-oh. The old American way, isn't it? Something to think about. Number two, do I become overly upset when something is lost or destroyed? Huh. Say, well, this is getting too close to home. Well, it's hitting me too, okay? Number three, do I continually need to buy something in order to experience happiness? Yeah. Number four, do my material possessions hinder my service for Christ? Ooh. If there's something that hinders your service for Christ, what should you do? Get rid of it. So, well, it's not bad. It may not be bad in itself, but if it's affecting your service for Christ, it's bad for you. Right? Okay. Number five, do the things I desire contribute to making my service for Christ more effective or less effective? I mean, really, everything we have should be tools in our service for the Lord. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad things. I mean, you know, I have a lot of good tools that I can use them for God. And I thank the Lord I've been able to use them for the Lord, building buildings and helping people out. And, you know, but if it's not a tool that can be a blessing in your service for the Lord, it's probably not going to do you any good. And we are notorious for getting stuff and stuffed with stuff. Thank the Lord when I sold my house when we retiring over there in Kalispell, it was good for my kids. They didn't have to go through all the junk. And I'm not a, I don't consider myself a hoarder. I mean, there's a, there's some TV show called Hoarders. I've never watched it. I've seen it ever. I thought, who would want to watch that? I'd go home and puke in the toilet, you know? I mean, why do you want to care? But anyway, so we are bad about that. So the things make them more effective for the Lord. Okay, I'm preaching. Forgive me. Your preacher is going to do that shortly. Okay, number three. So what are the biblical fruits of contentment? Number A, your speech is full of cheer and thankfulness. We've seen that. That's what it's about. The words and songs that we do are songs of praise. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If they are, that's because you're contented in God. Amen. Singing those songs. Number B, you're conscientious about your service before the Lord. Yeah, have discernment there about my service. You're less concerned about doing what you wish and more concerned about what God wishes. Yeah. And that Matthew 6 again, in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's no exceptions to that statement. So, number C, a biblical fruit of contentment, you would rather suffer wrong than do wrong. Amen? And that kind of person prefers to endure a hard lot rather than drive a hard bargain. Yeah. Number two, this person considers stealing and cheating worse than poverty. If I have to go without, I'm going to be honest. The Lord knows. And I don't go without. God provides. But you do the right thing. Yeah. And finally, number D, a biblical fruit of contentment. You desire acts of kindness toward all rather than vengeance. The old saying, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, you got a problem. Okay. Luke 6. Verse 27. Jesus says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. That's the word agape for love your enemies. Doesn't mean it's something you desire. It's a working love. You just do something for them. That's the right response. Your flesh, you may not like it, but you go ahead and do something good for them. Romans 12, 19 says it another way. Look at this. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, smack him. No. Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It's likely you'll turn them around when they say they keep being mean to you and you keep being nice to them. It's going to change things. So in conclusion, obviously, I mentioned a contented person is far happier than one discontented. I think the spirit of the church would be wonderful if everybody was content. Number two, faith again enters the picture with a person who's contented because it does take great faith. Believes God will take care of them as he promised. Philippians 4:19. What? My God shall supply all. Yeah, he'll take care. So faith. You just trust God, he'll do it. And so number three, if you strive to have a giving heart, your time, your money, and concern, then you'll find you have little time to concern yourself with what you think you need. Amen. So let's work at being a contented people. Amen. You think God's in that? Yes, He is. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, this challenges us all because we all have areas, especially in America, with this area of contentment. But Lord, we know it would free up a lot of problems that we deal with if we could learn to be contented. And help us, like Paul, to be contented whatever You give us, that You know You'll take care of us. Thank You for Your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.